Smaller agencies don't have the clients. They need clients. Larger agencies have the clients and they need to just meet all the needs of those clients.
That you've sourced these other great partners for the client. Clients value that greatly.
Everyone involved wants the reliability to be sky high.
Is find any opportunity that you can to create mutual value alignments that we were talking about earlier, right?
All right, everybody. Episode number two of the new podcast, How They Did It, with my co-host, Chris Dubois. In this episode, Chris and I are going to listen to a story between two agencies. These are lead generation agencies, I believe. The smaller agency is a part of our community. His name is John, the CEO of that agency. And he reached out to record this because it is a story that helps smaller agencies understand how to form partnerships with larger agencies to start kind of jumping ahead of the growth curve, if you will, and the difference between an agency like John's doing it this way versus starting with a small client, building up a little bit of a reputation, doing a lot of demand gen, lead gen, inbound, outbound, all that stuff. With this strategy, what you can do is essentially find an agency that's already got great clients. Form either a white label relationship where you're kind of working behind the scenes. And eventually, what you want to develop is what these two agencies developed, which becomes a relationship where John is customer facing. Larger agency is duo strategy. So we have Grant and his partner, and we have John, who runs a smaller agency, PBLC. John has terrific experience as a senior engagement manager for Ogilvy. If you're not familiar with Ogilvy, very large advertising, traditional advertising agency with Fortune 500 clients. John launched his new agency in February of 2023 last year and immediately started with partnerships, wanted to reach out to some agencies in his space or the space he wanted to grow in. And he found Duo Strategy and knocked on their cold door on LinkedIn, I believe. We'll hear about the story and started the relationship. And we're going to hear what happened, how he did it, what it became. And we're going to give some advice along the way, as we usually do. So hang tight here. There's a sponsor read, and then we'll get right into the episode. Thanks again to our amazing sponsors. Reveal has been a sponsor of this podcast since the very beginning. They've been wonderful. Reveal is your nearbound companion. Reveal allows you to not only map accounts, but get direct insight into sales motions, what's going on with your partners, who is dealing with what customers at what time. Nearbound, you may have heard of, you may have been to the conference, you may have met with companies inside of Reveal. It is the idea that you are going to work together to get into accounts, to get bigger deals, to get stickier users, to get stickier clients, and grow faster together. That is the concept of Nearbound. Other terms for it, you may have heard co-selling, ecosystem-led, partner-led. Account mapping is the essence of it. Who do I have that you also have? Who do we not have that the other person has and the other company has? And who knows who at what organizations to help us get closer to those companies? That is the essence of Nearbound. That is what we will use Nearbound to achieve. Top companies, like you see here in the directory, are all using Reveal to get closer and closer to the deals in play and to get more out of their partnerships. That is Reveal. Go to reveal.co and check it out. There is a free account so you can sign up today. Our next sponsor is partnerhub.app. It is the platform where you can find, align, and manage the partnerships that you are working closely with, those third-party B2B organizations. Who inside the organization are you doing what with right now? Who would you like to partner with? And what would you like to do with those entities? That is what PartnerHub is all about. The main differentiator between PartnerHub and your typical PRMs is that Partner Hub is built first and foremost as a marketplace and as a tool for solutions providers so that they can take the reins, so that they can control and operate their own partnerships with third-party entities like their tech partners, like other agencies. And when the agencies, when the solutions providers are in the driving seat of the partnership, you'll find that activation, enablement, all of those great keywords, all of those great OKRs that your program needs to succeed will all be lifted. So again, Partner Hub is a great place if you're looking for agencies in Shopify, Salesforce, HubSpot ecosystems. Top agencies like the number one HubSpot agency on the planet, Avidly, are in Partner Hub. Top Shopify agencies like The Stable are in Partner Hub. These are the great users that Partner Hub is thankful and proud to have. And the benefit that these users are getting out of Partner Hub is, again, making sure that they know exactly what partners that they are doing what with right now. There are tools like a syndication process for live offers to recruit more partners, directory products so you can showcase your partners on a subdomain of your choice and draw leads for your partners, actively bring your partner's business using a gorgeous mobile-friendly partner directory, and tons of partner management features as well. Everything you need in one place, that is what Partner Hub is all about. Run your program effectively. All right, that is all, and we'll see you guys in the episode.
Thrilled to be on. So I guess if we really start at the ground level with all of this, as I was starting in the agency world very early on, I kind of realized that without many case studies and proof of work, there are kind of two avenues that you can take to bring on new clients and ultimately build those case studies and logos that are going to get you more work in the long term. One of which is doing free work, and the other of which is aiming for partnerships and reaching out to agencies or individuals that are offering complementary services where you can partner and ultimately enhance what's being delivered to the client, right? So along that journey, I had the opportunity to did some cold outreach and connected with Grant, just out of excitement of what the Duo guys were doing, the clients that they are working with, and ultimately identifying that, hey, there may be some opportunity to kind of complement these guys and what their team is doing on the back end, knowing that they already have existing client relationships, and of course, selfishly, the opportunity to learn from what they've done and get their insight and direction as to these steps that I'm going on our journey as well. So that's kind of where the story starts, right? Grant and I connected on LinkedIn just with the interest of having a chat, understanding what each other were up to, which eventually snowballed into an opportunity. Grant, maybe you can take it from there on an existing pitch that was coming up.
Yeah, I think for the most part, I mean, Taylor and I, you know, we run an agency or consultancy, as we're calling it now, really primarily, but we're always looking for partners to work with on things that we don't necessarily have in-house. You know, lead nurturing and email marketing was one of those things. We do it for a number of our clients, but it's not something we have, you know, completely in-house. So we had some partners prior that had done some of that, and it's great to have really high level expertise or other agencies or other partners like that work with us. However, you know, they tend to be more expensive, even though they are more established, and you may work with someone who's lower level in that agency, and you're not really sure what you're going to get. With when it comes to John, and just comes to just partners in general, it's always good to meet you know, young, smart, and like early starters, I would say. Typically, because they're a lot more flexible. John is pretty flexible, and you know, the conversation we had, and I know he was open to kind of framing the agreement in any way that would make sense for the client. And when we started working together, or we initially met, I think it just occurred to me that John was smart. He got it. He knew what the client wanted and what we wanted to get going. So it just made sense for us. And then we just kind of found a way to get him into the agreement and start working together so we could probably take on other clients. You know, I think that was like the main
thing. Okay. So we got to meet John, and we got to meet co-founder Grant. We'll meet Grant's other co-founder, Taylor, later in the episode. But the main thing that we want to talk about now is the agency partners, decision making for growth comes down to hiring, upskilling internally, freelancing, or hiring a freelancer, call that same as hiring, but you're really full-time or a contractor essentially, and then partnering with another agency, which is what they decided to do. So Chris, you've been in this position a lot. You've worked with agencies that have this decision on their plate. First comment on the episode so far, and then let's talk about hiring, partnering, those two options.
So, first off, John is a very smart dude. We've talked before. That was the impression I got. And you can just tell with that decision to, like, he knew I don't have case studies. I can do this the long way and grind it out, or I can work a partnership and find how I can provide value to someone who's already doing this. They get value from it. And now we just take off, right? Partnerships, people, super easy, especially knowing that 90% of the clients coming in for agencies are coming in from non-marketing sources. Like only 10%, and this is on average, I think this was a WordStream study, but only 10% of your leads coming in are from your actual marketing. But referrals are huge. Partnerships are huge. And so if you can lean into that side, you're almost guaranteeing your growth versus kind of, grinding through it. That part's awesome. Now, from the agency owner perspective, where you're thinking about hiring or training versus getting a freelancer to come in versus finding a partnership, hiring and training will, as long as it's within your area of expertise, is going to be often the most value producing play because you have full control over that. However, it's going to be the most costly upfront. It's going to take you the most time to actually execute, right? A lot of agencies will fall into this realm where they have a bunch of projects, and so they'll find the first hire they can, you know, usually called a rescue hire. And that can be more costly because they're not always going to fulfill everything you need. And so in order to get around that, you can find a freelancer. However, freelancers can be unreliable, right? They don't actually work for you. They got their own projects. They're kind of splitting up their time in a bunch of different directions. Now with partnerships, you have the benefit of knowing that someone else is putting their reputation on the line to work with you, and they solve a very specific problem. And hopefully you guys can work that problem in tandem, helping the client to get a ton of value. And so in a situation like this, where it's like, hey, we need to be able to deliver some results quick. And maybe we just want to have that growth path for the long-term where we know our area of expertise. Let's find that partner who can actually do these other things. And now we expand who we can actually help, as far as our clientele goes.
I love it. Yeah. And one of the things he mentioned early on in that clip is he was sitting there at some point in the early stages of his agency thinking, okay, well, in order to get these really good clients, I either need to develop a case study or partner, essentially, was what his mentality was. And the thought process there is developing a case study with a really good client takes a lot of time. And obviously, you have to go up the ladder, essentially, or you offer to do certain things for free, if not the entire project for free, in return for the case study. And John was really smart about this. I think it was, okay, well, let me just start instead with partnering with an agency who's already got that project, talk to them about tying my name to that project, forming a strategic alliance with that agency to offer my services under theirs. And he probably did a lot of research to find Duo, who's a performance, more of a performance agency. They do LinkedIn ads, Facebook ads, and Google ads, where John's doing appointment setting and does some more email marketing stuff. So really great relationship. Let's continue on to the episode.
Yeah, sure. That's perfect. So I can definitely share like my POV, right? So as we evolve through the storyline and how things took place and how our partnership began, right after we had the opportunity to connect and share some proof of work and so on and so forth, and build an understanding of where we may fit in together, Taylor and Grant were working on a pitch, right, shortly after. And it was awesome to hear from them that they wanted to layer in the lifecycle marketing and nurture work into that pitch. And Taylor, maybe you can take it from there as to exactly what, you know, all was included in the initial offering and where this service kind of fit in, if that sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds great. Thanks, John. I think the biggest thing for us is providing like an end-to-end customer experience when it comes to acquisition work. There's like a ton of productization within the world of marketing today. And you see agencies that are, you know, very specifically focused on a certain tactic, and that's fine. That's great. You know, you should niche down and do what you're good at. But the problem there for clients is that, you know, you're not necessarily solving all of the things that need to be solved within an acquisition funnel. And if you're really focused on, let's say, you know, just paid advertising, you're bringing in these leads. Well, if their CRM isn't set up, they don't have lifecycle stages, they don't have any automations and tasks to alert salespeople when a, you know, warm lead is there. And if there's no nurturing in place for when, you know, somebody doesn't show up to a sales call, for example, or they have a sales call and they say, you know what, why don't you follow up with me in 3 to 6 months? You know, that can be a real issue. And, you know, 8 months into that relationship, you've been running Google Ads, the CEO comes to you, he says, okay, what happened with all of these leads that we've generated? And you look at the CRM, they've just been there. That can be a big problem. That can end the relationship. And, you know, that's something that we've experienced before in the past. And so I think that was really the impetus for needing to bring in somebody like John, where we knew, like, you know, what we're good at. We're good at that acquisition part of the funnel that's about paid advertising and building creative and landing pages and things like that. Well, we're not that awesome at, we're learning, thanks to John, is, you know, the CRM and lifecycle marketing piece. And so bringing that in, huge value for the client, helps us overall with our marketing, and just it's a win-win situation for really everybody in the
deal. So Taylor mentioned, right, there's a lot of agencies niching down and getting really focused, but I'm seeing the complete opposite within the market, where a lot of agencies are trying to be everything for everyone and struggling to find that niche because they're not leading with the partnership idea that they can bring in other people who are experts in something and they can just focus their skills. And so again, another case for partnering, right? But Alex, so John, I feel like did a great job with like the partner enablement, right? Where he was just educating them on what he does, his skill set, so that anytime that comes up now in a conversation and a pitch, they're thinking about him. And it keeps bringing him back into the conversation. What are some of your thoughts around that?
Yeah, it's partner enablement, you know, 101, or maybe a little bit higher than that, but it's a situation where John has to meet these individuals. They have to be the right fit to partner. So he did some good research, but then the hard part for all partnerships, whether you're a tech partner team trying to enable an agency to remember to recommend your SaaS, your software, or you're a CS rep or a sales rep and you're dealing with a customer issue that you know a partner could solve, but you're not sure who that partner is. In this case, you're an agency and you have a client pitch. They're talking about when they actually brought John into the first project, the first shared project. And it's because John did a great job at fitting himself into the services that that agency sold. He said, okay, you guys are here in this part of the funnel, I'm here. And he did a great job at articulating that A, he's not competitive, and B, he's really good at the next stage in the funnel or the previous stage in the funnel. And then the last part about that is making sure that they believed it and that they trusted him and that it was timely enough to where on that next customer call, they were like, light bulb, John is the guy for this next stage. So is that all for this segment? We want to continue on?
I think so. Yeah, sure, I'm on.
Let's continue on.
When we first connected, a very green as to how all of this goes, right? So, you know, there was a ton of learning to be done, and Grant, you can expand upon exactly how you all approach from your end, but their guidance on what was needed and like how to engage with it was very much so like needed and implemented at that time for sure.
Yeah, I think like the next steps, I think John had pitched us on a couple different options. He, you know, did some really good, just did a great pitch overall on all the things he could provide. And I think your primary channel was ActiveCampaign, I believe. You know, I just had a candid conversation with John. Again, he was very upfront with being green and being new to putting together an agency and just overall some of the lifecycle marketing stuff. But I knew he had a really good understanding of how to put together flows, how to figure out sequences, just maybe not the platforms that we were used to using, primarily, for example, HubSpot. And I just made it really clear with John that like that's exactly what we're looking for. And I actually think there's way more opportunity within a HubSpot CRM or within HubSpot as a company overall, rather than something like ActiveCampaign or whatnot. And you know, really quickly, John was really receptive to that and like instantly went and got a certification on HubSpot. And that's just like, you know, that just really showed us like as soon as he got that the certification, it really made it clear that that's what, you know, he wanted to do. And I thought that was, you know, a big win for us. And just seeing that he wanted to do that was, you know, it really made sense for the relationship.
I think just to add on to that, like, the most important thing for us, I think, with a relationship is just like, can we work closely with the person and enjoy our time collaborating with them? And like, are they going to collaborate with our client in a similar manner in which we collaborate with the client? And if that's the case, it, you know, somebody has like the go-getter attitude that somebody like John had, it made it a really easy decision to say, okay, let's bring this person into the deal. And so at the end of the day, like if you're an agency, you're looking for partners, you're meeting somebody for the first time, like I think getting the vibe of that person and getting an understanding of whether or not it's somebody that like you would feel comfortable working with, whether that be internally or externally, that's like the biggest thing. And then just giving them feedback for when the work actually begins. I've just found, and we found in our agency, communication is like the number one factor that's going to impact the client experience. Even if you do shitty work, like as long as you can communicate about it, get feedback from the client and improve upon it, and be proactive about that kind of stuff, like you'll be able to get to the place where you need to go in order to be successful. But it all starts with that relationship and being on the same wavelength.
Yeah, so not a lot in that section, but I think the one piece I'd like to call out is how your reputation really matters in any partnership. And the fact that, was it Grant and Taylor's team? They basically say ActiveCampaign probably isn't the best or the biggest channel for us to focus on, but like HubSpot, it's huge. We could base a lot of stuff on that. And so John just went and got certified within, you know, with HubSpot. It shows one, the initiative, but also you're putting your reputation out there, right? And saying, hey, like, I'm willing to do this type of work in order to learn these things so that you can count on me. That goes a long way in partnerships.
Awesome. Yeah, agreed. I think that's part of the niching down. I think Grant mentioned the productization of services. That's important with partnerships too. I have to remember keywords. I have to remember specifics. I can't just know that you're an inbound agency. I have to know that you are very good at HubSpot implementations for this type of buyer. If it's too vague, I'm not going to have the comfort to refer my clients to you. And I'm just not going to have that light bulb go off because I don't know what keywords to listen to. And if you're a tech company listening, we call this the partner track. If you've seen any of our partner track presentations, one of the slides is articulating to that partner exactly what keywords to listen to refer to that tech partner. So listen to your integrations that you have native, listen for the integrations that you have that are native, listen for the services that your tech enable essentially. Like, does your tech enable a RevOps service? Does it enable a lead gen service? Does it enable an SEO service, et cetera? So be very clear when you're presenting to a partner, but also during the enablement timeframe, you want to make sure that you're reiterating all of those specifics so that they remember to mention you when they hear that. All right, let's get back into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just contextualize with starting from a, you know, smaller agency or starter POV. I think it can be really intimidating walking into a request for a partnership because the smaller starters, aren't walking in with the client, right? So it's really important to find opportunities for mutual value, right? And remember that you agencies that are working with a portfolio of clients and have built powerful relationships with those clients see more opportunity in the room, right? And the problems change, right? For a starter, it's I need more clients. And for, you know, well-built agencies, it's How do we meet all the needs of our clients, right? So if you can meet one of those needs and fill a gap, you have the opportunity to still bring value, even if you're not bringing a client to the table necessarily. The way that our initial white labeling partnership started, I know it sounds like the Duo guys are okay with mentioning the Vector Care client that they're pitching in with. And there was an opportunity to fill a nurture need within the overall offering. So that initial deal was fully white label. So I essentially layered in with the Duo team and met that need for nurtures, automations, and email content, which unfolded based on the overarching lead gen strategy and some other elements that were in play in the deal. So we essentially, I kind of like a puzzle piece to the puzzle, right, of the overall deal, white labeled. So there was, of course, some margin in there as the Duo team is owning and managing that overarching relationship. And then just executed as part of the team, join the Slack channels, join all meetings, email communication, and so on to make sure that we had as much alignment as possible. I know Taylor was mentioning communication there, which is definitely the basis for our success together. And that's kind of how the first deal came to be and how we're still executing today.
Taylor, yeah, Grant, if you want to comment on that and then go into any learnings.
Yeah, no, I think when we initially pitched it, I mean, Taylor was the one pitching it, it wasn't even necessarily like it had to be done. Lead nurturing was just a part of the package and we added it on. Obviously made us some money, made John money, and it was kind of a win just to work on the partnership together. But we pitched it and it was something that they really wanted. And we were like, great, well, that sounds good. That means we can bring John into the fold. I think one of the big things is that when John came in, one of the most important things for me, and I think Taylor as well, is just taking stuff off our plate and creating like the ability for John to create a relationship with the client and have meetings, right, with the client, just them two, or have threads inside of Slack with just them two, and have that extra person who's creating a relationship as well with our client is like, it's critical, right? Like seeing a partner that you're working with, especially a white label partner or just any partner really, having conversations and keeping the client happy that isn't like something that you need to do is you know, that's everything for us. It just really improves the relationship we have with the client we have and keeps client on longer.
Okay, this was good. I like this segment, and especially what John said about how he was able to prove his worth to a bigger agency when he doesn't have the book of business to bring to the table. He doesn't have large deals to bring to the table. But what he does have, and what he was able to articulate really well, is proving to Grant and proving to Taylor that he is able to fit in here and extend the value of the service that they're currently selling to that larger client, and or increase margins on that deal, and or make that deal a little bit more robust in a way, I guess is a good word, just making sure it's something that they found as attractive with him involved when he couldn't bring the deal to the table. They had the deal. He was just adding his services to the deal. So that's a very difficult thing. And if you're a partner team listening, where this is super important is you can partner with these smaller agencies like John, enable them very quick. He can make decisions quick. He's sole proprietor, he's an owner operator, and he is your ticket into the larger agencies. Too many partner teams, I think, try to knock on the doors of these larger agencies and say, partner with us, and try to get them on the calls. And they have to educate their whole team. They've got to, make decisions around whether they change their tech stack up. It's a lot of difficult mental hurdles to get through as a larger agency, trying to figure out if I'm going to partner with a new tech solution. But if John is your partner, he comes in through the back door, and now all of a sudden Grant's and Taylor are leaning on John to do a part of the project, but John leverages this one tech solution to do that, and the project goes well. All of a sudden that tech solution with John is associated with another retainer and another project, That's what I think is most interesting about how John just was able to prove his value, even though he wasn't bringing a deal to the table, and network his way into that agency really, really effectively. What'd you get from that?
Yeah. Well, so I saw a good tweet the other day that said, like, part of getting older is just realizing, like, you have a guy for everything. Like, that's when you know you've got it. Like, I got the car guy, I've got the, you know, the lawn guy, whatever. But it's the same as like an agency owner when you can be like, oh, I've got this tech guy. And so, yeah, for those partner management teams who are like looking for opportunities, find those people you could count on to be the guy that can get your tech into the hands of the bigger agencies that way. I think it's genius. The having John in Slack too is a pretty bold commitment for doing services like this. But if you trust someone and you can get them working directly with a client, you're now cutting down the time, right, for communication. You're making sure everything's streamlined. If you're able to trust someone like that and put them in there, it's going to work in your benefit instead of having to translate everything they're telling you and now pass it to the client, get the client's feedback, pass it back to the other agency or the partner. That's a lot of work. If you can get them redirect, right, going to the client, awesome. You just got to be able to find those trusted partners.
Oh yeah, that's important too. I mean, it's a situation where he owns another agency, and in that world, as an agency operator, it's like, okay, well, how much of John do I want my client seeing, right? And there's a little bit of you know, timid nature for agency owners that will say, no, I'm at risk of losing this client if they know that another agency owner is doing this part of the project. And I think that's an old, immature way of thinking about it. I think you have to, especially in today's world, the more transparency and the more willingness you are to just do what's best for your client, right? If the client doesn't know that you brought in an agency that does that aspect of the project better than you and your team, or maybe you don't do it at all and you needed it, I, as a client, would think, oh, well, they're looking out for me. They're not just looking out for the best interest of their agency. They're really looking out for me by bringing this guy John in. So I thought that was really good. Let's continue.
Just to comment on what you actually were just talking about, Alex, I think a lot of times, especially when you're early in the agency or, you know, marketing firm game, whatever you are, a marketing vendor of some kind, there's like a fear to bring in a partner because that's like not white labeled and not part of your team, because I don't know, you're afraid in some capacity that by having that third party partner, it's like, oh, like we're not a complete agency, we can't do it all, blah, blah, blah. And the client's going to like think less of that. But I actually think it's like more of a benefit than anything else to be able to say like, hey, like we're partnered with PBLC Media, you know, they're a lifecycle marketing agency, they're help out experts, blah, 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 because it like, it shows your network and that you've sourced these other great partners for the client. Clients value that greatly. If you're somebody that a client can go to find any sort of marketing need and like trust in you that you have somebody that can solve an issue that maybe you're not an expert in, but at least have had the experience and the network to draw from in order to help solve that problem, like that is a huge benefit, much more so than having a million different white labeled partners and saying that you can do it all and you know, trying to kind of cover that up. That's just like a pain in the ass. And if you really just want to introduce that person and let that relationship grow from there, I think it's a huge benefit and actually just helps strengthen your relationship with the client.
Let's talk about this real quick. So they throw around the term white labeled. Chris, what is real true white labeling versus the relationship that John's agency has with Duo?
Right. So even the terminology of being white labeled is that you can put your own brand and label on something and take credit for that work. So they're happening. It's all in the background, right? No one knows they exist. Versus subcontracting, where you can say, hey, and there's, like we've already mentioned, right, there's tremendous power in being able to say, I am not an expert in this, like my team does not do this, we focus on this and that's why you hired us, but you need this, so we're going to bring in this expert who focuses solely on this and is great at solving that problem, and they can come in. That's huge. It's subcontracting, but it's fine because you're still building trust with everyone. And unless there's like an additional NDA or something the client needs signed, most clients are not going to have an issue with that.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing, that led to that decision is John himself, and how professional and how savvy he was and how great he is at engaging with customers. There are definitely those relationships you have as an agency with freelancers where it's probably, they're probably not the best at dealing with customers, and they do mm-hmm. need to be kept behind the scenes just for pure professional image sake. But if you can find those really awesome subcontractors like John, you can strengthen the relationship with your client, but also extend the opportunity for your agency to get into more, maybe bigger projects, deals. Okay, let's continue.
You could structure it in, like, John is white labeled in the sense that for the project that we work with John on, like, the client just pays our invoice. He pays one invoice. It's not like John's invoicing them and then we're invoicing them. Like, we've umbrellaed John underneath that bill. And that's another benefit, I think, for the client. Like, they just, you know, they don't want to pay multiple invoices a month. Or you can have it, you know, I think it's fine to probably do it the other way too and just introduce the relationship and then have them settle everything. But, like, it's just all of the different ways to structure it. I think the main point that I was trying to make is, like, don't be afraid to say, like, hey, this is my partner. It's a different agency, blah, blah, blah. But, like, a benefit of working with me is that we're partnered with them, and, you know, you can umbrella that cost under our cost. And, you know, it's just an easier way of managing that relationship for the client.
Okay. I want to focus on what Grant said there at the end. John did say some important stuff, reliability and being effective. I forgot the adjective or the verb he used, but being reliable is what it comes down to. And then Grant started talking about the spectrum of, like, how reliable, or the, call it a Venn diagram. You got reliability here, and then you got quality of work here. How much overlap do you want? What do you want as an agency CEO?
I agree with Grant that reliability is way more important than quality. It's awesome if you can crush it with a 10 on a project, right? Client's going to be happy. But if the next client I bring you in for, you're not showing up to the meetings, or you're getting a 4 for that one, because I just can't count on you to keep showing up and delivering the same thing. Like, you want that consistency, and that shows in how reliable you are, you know, as a partner. I would very much more heavily weigh reliability over quality in a situation like this.
Yep. And I think ego is the key word there that's important to understand when you're partnering. So if you're reaching out to a partner and they're showing a lot of ego, you know, they're kind of not listening on calls, and they're kind of trying to cut stuff short, and they feel like, you know, they're the one that's needed more than they need you, probably not going to be a good partnership in general. But that's the type of partner, if you do end up working together, that is going to be late for meetings, and they're going to miss stuff, and they're going to push deadlines. And it goes for both tech to tech, agency to tech, agency to agency. So I think finding partners that have less ego, but are still confident, super confident in their work, and are able to really meet you in the middle with, here's what we need to get done, here's your part of it, leave your ego at the door, show up to calls when I need you. If we need something last minute, you know, it's not me trying to dictate the relationship, it's the client needs or the customer needs that I'm just purely emphasizing. Nothing against you, you know, but I do need you to come to the table. So ego, I think, prevents a lot of partnerships from being successful. Okay, let's continue.
I think there's a multitude of things. For me particularly, I know I mentioned very early on in this conversation, like, the opportunity to engage regularly with individuals that are where you want to be. It's something I've always focused on in my career. Luckily, I had that advice early on to surround yourself, and even better if we're, like, working together financially as well, and, like, and partnering on a project, right? So I think there's a ton of added value here for me. One thing I'm definitely learning about how to run a business, right, is just building partnerships that are as mutually beneficial as they possibly can, and continually delivering for folks on the back end, right? Like, if someone is in a pinch, whether it is a client relationship, whatever it is, and they need support on something, like being there to provide immediate support is incredibly. So what I'm getting at right now is being reliable, right? Like being a reliable individual that's ultimately going to lead to longevity in a relationship is always the right thing to do, right? And following that right path is only going to benefit you individually in the long term, but also like it feels good to do the right thing in any instance as well. So I think ultimately what I'm learning most is, you know, you need to put in the work continually, right? We live and work in a what have you done for me lately environment, especially in the agency world. And that's okay. That's how things should be, right? So what I'm learning is continue to do your best, be there for folks, and ultimately the best will come.
Grant, final thoughts here, man. What'd you learn?
Yeah, I think as you're mentioning the reliability factor, John, I mean, that's like, not only from an employee standpoint, from a partner standpoint, from anyone we work with, like if you saw an X and Y axis of quality, you know, and reliability, like the quality of the work matters. Don't get me wrong. Like I'd love a 10 on quality of work and that's fantastic. But I would rather have like a 7 or even a 6 on quality of work and the reliability to be a 9 or a 10. And maybe the client might even disagree with that, but it's just not true. Like the client, everyone involved wants the reliability to be sky high. And the quality of work, yeah, sometimes it's going to be a 6, sometimes it's going to be an 8, sometimes it's going to be a 10. It can kind of go back and forth, and that just depends on what it is. But if the reliability is always an 8, a 9, or a 10, it's a win of a relationship, and that's probably one of the biggest things.
Okay, so that is the full episode. What I want to end on is talking about something that John and Grant did the hard way before John entered Partner Hub. He met Grant long before that. But how do you find good partners? You're doing A, B, and C, but you don't do D, E, and F. Or you're a tech company looking for those expert solutions partners to bring you their book of business. Where do you go to find those partners? What John did is he went straight to his network on LinkedIn and found through some keyword searches first, but then through his network, found some of the top agencies that were above the funnel in with respect of services, and found a perfect agency that did everything but, or did the things right above him and his agency on the funnel. We talked about that and created a really awesome a better together story. If you're in partnerships, you hear that term a lot, and went to them cold on LinkedIn, which is very difficult, especially if you're a smaller agency that can't bring a deal to the table, and secured that first call, proved his worth, explained that better together story. You know, using LinkedIn, yes, it can work. It's rare that it turns out like that. But you guys had a great agency doing almost full service, but there were some things that you didn't do. I think you mentioned social media. You didn't do social media management. Put yourself into John's shoes. What if he was a social media management agency and you guys weren't actively looking, but you know, what are some things he could have done to win your partnership if you put yourself back into your agency CEO shoes and talk through that sort of situation? I don't know.
Partnerships from the agency side, kind of start with the hitting your network and stuff. So like LinkedIn's one, but just other networks that you have just by going to the same conventions, being in the same ecosystems, knowing people. And so knowing that, yeah, for example, we didn't do social media. And so if someone were to come to me and say, hey, I provide social media, again, I'm going right to my network first to kind of see if anyone else has worked with him, to see if they know anything about him even. And then I'll look at things like case studies, anything else he has to kind of prove it out. And then if we still don't have any of that, then yeah, maybe it's all right. We'll test you out. Hard path without using to find partners, without using like a partner relationship tool. You have to actually manage all of that and just find the right people. You can go look in an ecosystem forever. And it doesn't mean you're necessarily going to find the right partners for yourself or have any of the right information that you need in order to know if it could even be a good partnership.
If I can shamelessly plug for Partner Hub right now, I think that folks that are in my shoes in that early stage is find any opportunity that you can to create mutual value alignments that we were talking about earlier, right? Smaller agencies don't have the clients. They need clients. Larger agencies have the clients and they need to just meet all the needs of those clients, right? So I urge people to use platforms like Partner Hub, and Grant and I connected it off of just my cold outreach, right? To find folks that have, where you have mutual needs, and you can create alignment on projects and ultimately build powerful partnerships together.
That's it. This was good, man. And yeah, it's been a pleasure hopping on the podcast and talk with you again, John. I'm sure we'll be talking soon, Alex.
Part of the reason we built Partner Hub, he did mention and plug us, so thanks, John, for that. But agencies trying to find partners is very difficult. They get a lot of bad cold outreach from agencies and tech partner teams. They don't have time to, you know, put down the customer scenario situation and relationship and put that on the back burner. That has to stay on the front burner. The customer stuff always stays on the front burner. So you're asking them to find time to look into you, look into your stuff, get out of their current workflow, and then also figure out where you fit into their stuff. And it's a lot to ask. So even when an agency like Chris's agency, his former agency, that is doing website stuff and HubSpot stuff and content stuff, but not doing social media management, and know that their clients also need that, or maybe wanted it, maybe needed it, it's easier for them to just say, we don't offer that. You know, maybe there's an agency that's great at it that they know and is in their network, but it's easier for them just to say, you know what, go find them on Clutch and good luck. We don't do that, unfortunately. But what John did really well is to enter a conversation where he made it very simple for the other agency, Duo Strategy, to bring him in to those that first deal. And then, of course, that snowballs into a second and third. So if I'm in the shoes of partner teams and agencies, I think that the main thing is figure out who's partnering, who's open to partnerships, right? That is, I think, the first checkbox. I get a lot of partner teams coming to me and saying, you know what, we partner with this size of company and companies that are selling this service or doing this thing. I'm like, that's good. But what's even better is like, figure out, are they already partnering? Do they have a partner operation? Do they have a strategy? And he mentioned Partner Hub because, of course, every single company in Partner Hub has at least the intent to get better at partnerships, or they wouldn't be there. That is a great marketplace to go to and find and selfishly plug us. But if you don't have a Partner Hub account, obviously go to the partner directories, I think is a great way to start. Find out who's currently partnering. And with John's case, with agency to agency, this episode is about a scenario where John, you know, found them however he found them through a search and then a LinkedIn message. But what he could have done is searched the agency name and then add, and this is in quotes in a Google search, agency name plus partnerships. And just see if they have any landing pages on their website or if they're listed in any partner directories. Find out that. And if they are, you can kind of lead with that conversation as well. If they aren't, you know, maybe put them lower on the list of who you want to reach out to and go to the directories of those platforms that you know you want to work in, those ecosystems, and find agencies that are already partnering with at least that tech company. And if they're partnering with at least that technology company in a true partnership fashion, then they probably are open to partnerships as a general strategy and working with other agencies. Mm-hmm. So just think about those kinds of things before you start reaching out where to go and how to approach each ecosystem a little bit differently. Final thoughts on any of the topics that we learned about in this agency to agency partnership story?
I think this was very well done, John. Again, he's a smart guy, understood what he needed to do to keep growing his agency and found a way to help another agency in the process.
I love it. How two agencies successfully partner. Grant, Taylor, John, thank you guys, if you are listening, for recording with us. And for all of you, stay tuned for another great episode of How They Did It. We're going to unpack more partnership stories, partnership success stories, partnership sales stories, maybe even find some negative results and unpack why that happened and get you guys some good info to help you on your partner journey, in your partner journey, and on your partner strategy. Thanks again, Chris.
Thanks for having me.